Chapter 25. Ira's slender body pressed into mine, and I could feel her ample breasts against my chest. My hands gravitated to her thin waist, then down to her full hips, and my erection stirred inside my pants. The redhead's hands found my hair, and she quickly pulled it down from its ponytail and wrapped her fingers in it.
Oh, Rath.
She groaned into my mouth.
You feel so good against me.
I'll feel even better inside of you. I growled as I pulled her hips into mine. Ira gasped, and her nails dug into my scalp as her body tensed with pleasure. Her mouth was still against mine, and I kissed her plump lips for a moment more before I nibbled along her jawline down to her neck. Her skin was smooth, and she smelled of salt and the cold metal of a steel blade, just how I'd imagined she would. My hands gripped her hips hard while she panted into my ear and arched her back so her breasts pressed harder against me, and I licked and suckled and bit at the delicate skin between her ear and collarbone until she writhed against me. "I've waited a long time for this," I whispered into her ear.
"Just as long as I have. I've wanted you since the moment I saw you."
I had no idea, but hearing her confession only made me desire her that much more. My erection pressed against the front of my pants, and I could feel her hot body against it. I knew she could feel it too, because she pushed her hips into mine and moaned loudly.
"You're just as big as I imagined."
She breathed, and she reached down to grip me over my pants. The feel of her hand on my cock made me gasp, and I reached around and grabbed her perfect ass.
"I want you so bad."
I could feel her hot breath on my ear and neck, and it sent a shiver down my spine. I grabbed on to the bottom of Iris' tunic and pulled it up over her head, and then I stood back and took in the entirety of her naked body. Her full breasts were perky, and her nipples were already hard and ready for me. My eyes followed the line of her breasts to the narrow slope of her muscular stomach, down to the gentle flare of her hips, and then to the curly red hair that hid her sex. "Come here," I growled, and I reached up and grabbed her by the back of her neck so I could pull her to me. I captured her mouth with my own, while my hand worked its way down her belly until it got to her sweet spot. And Ira gasped as I slowly moved my fingers down until they were at the entrance of her pussy. I could feel how wet she was, and it made my cock throb eagerly. Then the redhead gripped my shoulders tightly as I slid a finger inside of her.
"Oh, Rath."
She moaned, and she threw her head back with pleasure. Ira instinctively pushed her knees together as I worked my fingers in and out of her pussy, but I growled and used my knee to spread them apart. The redhead started to grind against my hand as I used my fingers to bring her to the edge of pleasure. She dug her nails into my shoulders and threw her head back as she let out a low moan.
"Oh, fuck. I'm gonna come."
Ira's pussy spasmed and squeezed my fingers, and my cock throbbed in response. My hand was drenched in her cum, and once she finished riding out the waves of her pleasure, I grabbed her by the waist and lifted her up so I could lay her on the ground and climb on top of her. Ira's beautiful warrior body was lit up by the firelight, and I took in the sight of her. Her small pink nipples were pert and ready, and her chest rose and fell quickly as she licked her lips and wriggled with desire. My lips found their way down to her nipples, and I pulled one into my mouth while I lightly pinched the other one between my thumb and forefinger. Ira moaned, and her fingers snaked their way into my hair again. I realized then Cass and Asta were only a few feet away, but at that moment I didn't care. I was too encapsulated with Ira and the desire I'd long been waiting to fulfill. I licked and bit her pert pink nipple while she moaned even louder, but Ira gripped my hair hard and pulled my head up to her.
"Enough teasing,"
she growled as she reached down with one hand and undid my pants.
"I want you inside me. Now."
"You have no patience," I smirked, but Then my eyes rolled back, and she gripped my cock and started to stroke it.
None.
The redhead purred, and she licked her lips. The feel of her hand on my erection made me throw my head back and let out a loud groan. Ira stroked me expertly for a moment before she placed the head of my cock at her entrance, and I slowly pushed inside of her. She was so wet and ready that I slid in easily, and her pussy gripped and spasmed on me as she took the whole length of my cock.
Fuck, you're so big.
She moaned as she spread her legs wider to accept me.
You are stretching my womanhood.
I leaned down and captured her mouth with my own as I pushed in and out of her wet pussy. It wasn't long until Ira's body tensed under mine, and she opened her mouth wide and arched her back as she came on my cock. Her pussy spasmed and clenched me hard, and the feel of her was almost too much to bear. Oh, you feel so good. I groaned as I savored the sensation of her coming on me again.
Oh, I need you deeper.
She growled as she lifted her hips up higher. Flip over, I commanded, and I grabbed her hips to help roll her onto her hands and knees. Ira flipped her long red hair over her shoulder, and her slender back and perfect ass were exposed to me, so I grabbed a handful of her ass before I reached back and slapped it hard.
Yes.
Ira gasped, and she looked back at me through thick, heavy eyelashes.
Again.
I wasn't one to disappoint, so I reared my hand back once more and smacked her ass even harder. Her knees buckled, but I quickly grabbed her by the hips and held her up as I guided my cock into her slick pussy.
Oh, fuck. Fill me up, Brad. Harder.
Ira was more demanding than either Cass or Aster, but I liked a woman who knew what she wanted, and I was bound and determined to give it to her. I held her hips in place as I thrust in and out as hard as I could, and the sound of our hips colliding filled my ears as I enjoyed the sight of her muscled ass bouncing against me. Oh, you're so fucking sexy, I growled as I pounded into her even harder.
Oh, yes, don't stop.
A second later, Ira's fingers dug into the ground in front of her as her pussy clenched my cock yet again.
I'm coming.
She groaned, and she looked back and locked eyes with me.
Give me your cum, rat. I want you to fill me with your seed.
The sheer look of pleasure on her face sent me over the edge, and I pushed into her as deeply as I could. Then I unloaded my cum into her pussy as she milked me for all I was worth. Lightning raced up my spine as my cock continued to jerk within the vice grip of her velvet walls, and my eyes rolled back into my head as my ears rang. Ira keened as she arched her back, and she pressed her ass against me even harder so that my spraying tip kissed the puckered entrance to her womb.
Give me every last drop.
My cock pulsated and jerked for what seemed like an entire minute as I emptied myself completely inside of Ira's hot pussy. And once I had finished, the redhead pitched forward onto the ground. My shaft slipped out of her with a wet popping sound, and I groaned deep in my chest as I watched my seed drip out of her pink and swollen pussy lips and down across her thighs. Then I collapsed onto the ground beside the red-headed warrior, and we laid there, heavily panting for some time, before I looked over at the redhead and smiled.
Well, that was hell worth the wait.
I thought so, too. I laughed, but then I thought about what she'd said earlier. I never knew you wanted me this way until recently. Why didn't you say anything?
Why didn't you?
You were my superior. I wasn't going to come on to you and risk getting kicked out of the warband. Or worse, having you reject me.
Well, that wouldn't have happened. But I understand.
Well, we're here now. I smiled. That's all that matters. Ira smiled back at me, and then she scooted closer to me and laid her head on my chest. The next thing I knew, I opened my eyes to see Blah's face far too close to my own. Hey, I chuckled and reached up to pet the little dragon. It was still dark out, but I could see on the horizon the sun was going to rise soon. We needed to get going. A quick glance around showed everyone else was still asleep. "Ira," I whispered as I lightly shook the redhead's shoulder. She startled awake, and her hand gripped my forearm hard while she stared at me with piercing green eyes. She blinked, but then realization hit her, and she gasped and let go of my arm.
"I'm sorry,"
she whispered, and she covered her mouth. "I'll never apologize for being a good warrior." I wasn't sure if you wanted Kaas and asked to know about us, so I thought I'd wake you up first.
"Do you care if they know?"
she asked me, and she cocked her head to the side slightly. "Oh, not at all," I smiled softly. "They like you."
"Then they can know. However, I don't think they would particularly care to see me naked, so I will get dressed before you get them up."
"All right." Once everyone was awake, we ate some peaches while we got everything ready to go. Then I found the horned horse creatures 100 yards or so away, so I led them back to the cart and hooked them back up. After that was done, I joined the girls in the grass. Kaas had her spellbook pulled out, along with the locks of hair and rings we'd stolen from the elves.
"All right,"
the strawberry blonde said as I approached.
"I think it will be best if we do this one at a time. We need to figure out who wants to be who, though."
"I'll be the man with dark blue hair," I volunteered, and I grabbed a hold of the lock of hair and ring. "What do I need to do?"
"Give me the hair,"
Kaas said, and she held her hand out.
"Then put the ring on."
The girls each chose a lock of hair and a ring as well, and Kaas and Asta performed the spell to alter our appearance. I didn't feel any different, but I knew I'd look like the blue-haired man to the dealers, and that was all that mattered. After the spell was completed, we all hopped onto the cart and followed Asta's directions to the front of the field. There didn't seem to be anything around, and I looked at our surroundings and pursed my lips. All I could see was yellow grass as tall as my shins in all directions. There weren't any trees around or any roads to speak of. It was all just yellow grass and blue sky. "You're sure this is the right area?"
"This is the front of the field,"
Asta nodded.
"It's not quite daylight yet. Yesterday the man said the deal happened just after dawn."
"Oh, you're right." I was growing impatient waiting for these assholes. Granted, we hadn't been there long, but I couldn't wait to get my hands on these dealers, especially knowing they'd have newly captured dragons with them. I didn't understand how anyone could be so positively cruel. The evil nature of these men completely baffled me. I understood not everyone enjoyed being around animals, but to use them as slaves and as a means for profit just seemed so incredibly wrong. And these weren't creatures that were unaware of what was happening either. Most fish wouldn't understand they'd been taken out of their home pond, but dragons were highly intelligent animals. Part of me even assumed they were more intelligent than elves or Aesir. Not only did they have a natural ability to understand the people around them and different languages, but they also easily adapted to their surroundings. I'd been inside their minds, I'd sensed their emotions, and I knew they felt just as deeply as we did, which only made this whole situation that much worse. I took a deep breath to steady myself, and then I glanced over to the horizon. The dim blue of a new day was upon us, and the sun rose higher and higher as I watched. It wouldn't be long until dawn was in full swing, and once that happened, all we had to do was wait for the dealers to show up. While we waited, we all busied ourselves. Asta sat in the driver's seat of the cart with Inga on her lap. Kaas sat next to her with her spellbook in her lap, and Ufe at her feet, and Ira and I paced around and played with our weapons. I practiced lengthening and shortening my sword, and Ira absent-mindedly flipped her sword in her hand as she walked.
"Do you think we'll need to know their names?"
"I don't think so," I shook my head.
"Just avoid calling them by their names,"
Ira shrugged.
"I doubt they'll know this." "Not the dealers,"
the elf girl frowned.
"I mean the bodies we're in. How will we know who they're talking to?" Good point.
Kaas pursed her lips.
"Just focus on who they're looking at. People usually look at whoever they're talking to. All right?"
Asta agreed, but she shifted in her seat and started to fiddle with her fingers.
"I think I'm just nervous. It feels strange to meet them out in the open. I know we'll look different to them, but you all look the same to me, and I feel the same.
It is odd. I feel the same way, but we just have to act like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Ira nodded.
Just let Rat and I do all the talking. You'll know when it's time to attack. Okay.
Asta smiled at the redhead.
Thank you, Ira. Oh, and Asta?
Ira said with a smirk.
When you throw your axe, make sure you follow through. It will give you more power. Follow through? Like this.
Ira said, and she pulled a dagger out of nowhere and hurled it at the cart. The small blade dug into the wood a few feet away from Asta, and the elf girl looked wide-eyed at the knife.
I will be sure to remember that.
Asta gulped.
Don't look so worried. If I wanted it to hit you, it would have.
Asta seemed to really like the warband leader, but judging from the look on her face, she was also terrified of her. I didn't blame her. Ira was fierce, and Asta was sweet and bubbly by nature. The two of them were complete opposites of each other, but I suppose they could learn a thing or two from one another. I kept the dragons in the back of the cart while we waited, and I made sure to give them each a piece of the elven bread we'd found the night before. I had no doubt Blah had already eaten his, and probably half of Ufe's as well, but I couldn't risk the dealers seeing them. The enchantments would hold up, but I thought it would seem suspicious for these men to all of a sudden have three dogs with them when they'd never had them before. I wasn't sure if these dealers were the kind to ask questions or not, but this was serious business, and if they sensed something was off about us, they could easily choose to walk away and find another buyer. I was sure there was no shortage of them around, not with the prices the dragon sold for.
Rat!
Cass suddenly hissed, and she nodded behind me. I turned around to see a wagon approaching from off in the distance. It looked similar to ours, except the horse-like creatures pulling it in front were white, where ours were brown. The sun was officially up by now, and I knew this had to be the dealers. There was nobody else around here, and I doubted anyone would be out in this area for no reason. Oh, these were definitely our guys. The cart approached and came to a stop, and an older elf with short, dark brown hair and a long grey tunic peered at us over the animals that pulled the carriage. "You're early," he said in a low, gruff voice. "Sorry, we were eager to get going today." "That so?" the man asked, and his eyes narrowed on me. I realized I probably wasn't doing a great job of acting like the men they knew. Those assholes were far from polite, so I'd have to try and be ruder if I wanted them to believe me. "Yeah, got a problem with that?" "Not at all," the older elf said, but he still eyed me suspiciously. "Let's get down to business, shall we?"
"We don't have all day,"
Ira said, and she crossed her arms over her chest. The red-headed warband leader seemed to be playing the part well, and I had to remind myself not to smile at her. I glanced to the side and saw Kaas look at me with wide eyes. I pinched my eyebrows together questioningly, and she glanced down at my pocket, then back up at me, then over to the older elf male. Realization hit me, and I quickly took the pipe out of my pocket. It had belonged to the blue-haired guy, and he'd been smoking it the entire time we'd seen him. If we wanted to get anything out of these assholes, they needed to believe us, and the pipe might help. I quickly lit the thing up, and I watched the older elf peer at me from the side. The sight of the pipe seemed to calm him down some, but not completely.
"So, let's see the products,"
Ira said with a smile. The dark-haired elf whistled, and several other elves came out of the back of the cart with a small dragon cage in each hand. I was overwhelmed by the sensations of the dragon's fear, but I took a deep breath and pushed it to the side so I could focus on the older elf and find out what he knew. The little dragons were going to be freed, whether they knew it or not, and until then they'd just have to wait a little longer.
"Those look nice,"
Ira said.
"I bet you wish your boss didn't pocket all the coins for a job well done."
The older elf narrowed his eyes on the redhead. and I could tell. He knew something wasn't right. Unlike the man who'd given the boss away, this asshole seemed to have some semblance of loyalty, and the look on his face told me he wasn't about to give up his boss, no matter what we did to him. Ira was trying her best to be nonchalant about the subject, but it was too late. This guy clearly knew something was off about the situation. It was time to take out these dealers as well, so I did a quick head count of the elves who brought out the baby dragons. Including the older elf, there were 7 altogether. We were clearly outnumbered, but that was only if we didn't count the dragons. I'd told Blah to keep an ear out for us, though, and as unreliable as he might be about staying out of the garden or snack tin, he was a great battle companion, and I knew he wouldn't let me down. "How many did you say you wanted this time?" the older elf asked, and he carefully looked Ira up and down. I knew he was trying to pinpoint what exactly the problem was, but I doubted he'd figure it out. All he knew was whoever we were disguised as seemed off today.
"The usual,"
Ira said with a straight face. "Mm-hmm." The elf nodded, and I saw the slightest shift in his demeanor. "We do a lot of business. Remind me what that is again." Ira took a deep breath and turned to look at me. Then she sighed and turned back to the older elf.
"Eh, fuck it."
She shrugged and jumped up to kick the man square in his chest. With that, the fight had begun, and 2 of the men closest to me yanked their swords from their sheaths and charged me. Whether they knew we weren't who they thought we were, or if they just thought we were trying to fuck them over, I couldn't be sure. But either way, they were ready to battle. I quickly pulled my sword out and extended it to its full length, and 1 of the men charging me slid forward and attempted to slice at my legs with his sword. I was quick, though, and I jumped over his blade and brought mine down at the same time. I caught the man on the forearm, but he'd been moving too quickly for me to get through to the bone. Still, I'd made a deep gash, and his weapon went flying as he screamed and used his other hand to cover his wound.
"Fuck!"
the man yelled as blood dripped down his arm and onto the ground. I barely had time to recover from my swing before the next elf was on me. He lifted his sword over his head and tried to bring it down on me, but I quickly altered my stance and readied my blade to take the blow. The man gritted his teeth, and I noticed 1 of them was made of gold. His dark, bushy eyebrows were furrowed, and he had a nasty scar across his neck. Something told me this guy wouldn't be as easy to kill as the last one. I held my stance as the elf tried to push his blade toward me. He was strong, and I couldn't push him back, so I shifted my weight forward, lifted my back leg, and wrapped it around the elf's thigh. Then I yanked my hip back, so I pulled his leg out from under him, and as he fell to the ground, I flipped my sword in my hand and stabbed it downward. The elf was quick, though, and he rolled out of the way, so the tip of my sword dug into the ground instead of his face. He popped up onto his feet and swung at me quickly, and as he moved side to side, it was clear he was well trained in swordsmanship. He wasn't the only one, though, and he gritted his teeth as I countered his blows.
"Yeah, you're better with a sword than I figured you'd be,"
he growled.
"Yeah, I could say the same for you," I sneered as I countered yet another blow and raised my sword to retaliate.
Now the man was growing irritated, and his blows became even more powerful as he grunted and swung at me over and over again. I was about to duck and roll to try and get the jump on him when I noticed a small portal appear just behind him. A second later, Blah came through it, and I ducked as he unleashed a huge blue flame at the elf's back.
"Fuck!"
the man screamed, and he lost his balance and fell forward onto the ground. The man with a gash on his arm had apparently recuperated some, because the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I turned, just in time to see him come at me with a dagger in his good hand. His other arm hung limply by his side, and blood dripped down it and left a trail of red wherever he moved. I quickly took a step back and placed my boot on the neck of the burned man on the ground,
Then I shortened my sword until it was just a foot long, and I threw it at the man with the dagger. My blade hit him square in the chest, and I immediately had an idea. I focused on extending the blade, and even though it wasn't in my hand, it reverted to its larger profile. The man's eyes went wide as my sword expanded inside his chest. The dagger fell from his hand, and he coughed up blood before he fell forward onto my blade. "Blah!" I said, and I held my hand out. The little blue dragon landed on my shoulder and breathed a blue flame into my hand. My sword appeared there, and I looked down at the man on the ground beneath my boot. "Ugh, fucking do it already, then!" He sneered, and his gold tooth was once again exposed. "Oh, I think I'll give you a fighting chance," I said, and I lifted my foot off his neck and took a step back. "You're dumber than I..." His words were cut short as he moved to stand up, because just when his neck was far enough off the ground, I swung and took his head clean off. His decapitated head rolled a few feet away, and his hot blood splashed across the ground before I glanced round to see how the girls were faring. There was an elf on the ground a few feet away from me, and Asta plunged her daggers into his chest while Kaas pulled her greatsword out of another man's stomach. Ira had two bodies piled up, and she sat on their backs with one leg crossed over the other. It looked like all the other men were taken care of, and I smiled at my women and how fierce of warriors they were.
"Took you long enough?"
"Well, we can't all be renowned warband leaders."
"No, I guess not."
She shrugged and grinned at me. I looked to her right and saw the cages of baby dragons the elves had brought out. There were six of them on the ground, but I knew there had to be more inside the cart. I focused on them, and I could sense their hesitance. They were still scared. "Kaas, remove the illusion spell."
"Oh, of course,"
the sorceress said, and she pulled out her spellbook. Taking the spell off was much quicker than putting it on, and in a matter of moments we were all back to our normal selves. The little dragons stared at us with wide eyes of suspicion and curiosity, but I walked over to the cages and crouched down next to them. "We know they took you. We're going to get you home, I promise." One small yellow female walked up to the front of her cage and blinked her bright pink eyes at me. I smiled and placed my hand against the bars so she could sniff me, but she quickly stuck her tongue out and gave my palm a good lick as well, which tickled and made me laugh. She seemed to enjoy that because she flapped her little wings slightly and smiled back at me. "Kaas, Asta, will you let them out? They'll stay close. Ira, come with me to find the others."
"Of course."
Kaas nodded.
"Okay."
Ira agreed. I tasked Kaas and Asta with releasing the babies, only because I knew they had more experience with dragons. Ira was beautiful and fierce, but I felt Kaas and Asta would be a more comforting presence to them, especially with Inga and Ufe to help out. Blah was still on my shoulder, so he came with Ira and I into the cart. When we got inside, there were more babies than I'd imagined. I counted 15, plus the six that were outside, so that was just over 20. They were all incredibly small, too, and some of them resembled each other, so I presumed they were from the same litter. I assured the babies inside just as I had the ones outside, and then I let them out of their cages and allowed them to wander around the cart while we got things ready to take them to the valley.
"Aren't you worried they'll try to fly away?"
"No," I chuckled as a little silver dragon landed on my forearm, and I scratched under his chin. "They know we're going to take them home. I can feel their trust in us. If they were still scared, then I wouldn't let them out until we got to their mothers, but they know we're here to help them."
"Maybe it's because they were just taken too."
She nodded.
"They probably would be more skeptical if they had been held for longer."
You're right. I'm sure that has something to do with it. The first dragons the girls and I found were much too terrified to release right then.
"Rat!"
I heard Kaas yell, and Ira and I locked eyes before we ran out of the cart. "What's wrong?" I asked as I gripped my sword tightly.
"Oh, nothing,"
the strawberry blonde said, and she looked up at me from her spellbook on the ground.
"Oh, sorry, I got excited is all."
It's okay. I laughed before I sheathed my weapon. But try not to scream my name, unless you're in danger, all right?
I'll remember that.
She chuckled before she pointed to the book.
But look here. I think I found a spell to help us.
Help us how?
Ira asked as she looked over the sorceress's shoulder.
We can use our map and put this spell on the cart to see where it's been.
So it will lead us to their boss?
If they've been there within the last day.
Cass nodded.
Brilliant!
Ira grinned at Cass, and the strawberry blonde grinned back. What do you need?
I just need Asta's help. Our powers combine to make casting a lot quicker.
You might have to pry her away, but I'm sure she'll help.
I followed Ira's eyeline to see Asta on the ground, covered in baby dragons. They pounced on her and licked her face, and she giggled and rolled around with them. It was absolutely adorable. But we had work to do still, so unfortunately I had to break it up. Asta! Cass needs your help.
Coming!
The elf girl hollered, and she brushed the baby dragons off her, promised she'd be right back, and made her way over to Cass. The two of them reviewed the spell in the book before they headed over to the cart, and Cass drew some strange symbols on the ground around it with a stick. The two of them held hands and spoke in the old language, and the familiar white and red sparkles of their magic bloomed between them and swirled over the map at their feet. After a moment they released hands, and Cass eagerly reached for the map.
It looks like there's a few spots where they've been.
Asta looked closely at the map.
This area is far away from the towns. Perhaps that's where the boss is? It does look like all the other places are markets or somewhere close to town. I think Asta's probably right.
We'll check there first. I nodded.
We should disguise ourselves again.
Ira suggested, and then she pointed to the men on the ground.
We can pretend to be his crew.
Good idea. I agreed. When we showed up as them, it wouldn't be under the pretense of a trade, so I figured everyone would be a little less on edge than they had been in this situation. And, if we played it right, we were far less likely to be found out as quickly as we were here.
We should get the babies back home first.
Right. We'll get them to the valley, and then we'll find the boss. Whoever this man was, I couldn't wait to meet him. Someone who not only participated in, but ran at least a portion of the dragon trade, was at the top of my kill list. The man we'd killed the day before said they'd bought the silver dragon over a decade ago, so this boss had to have been in business for a long time. My teeth clenched, just thinking about all the terrible things he'd done, but I pushed away my anger and focused on the task at hand. The girls and I looted the bodies of the elves and made sure to take locks of hair and articles of clothing or jewelry we could wear for the spell. Once that was done, and we had a nice pile of coins, clothing, and weapons, we loaded everything from our cart into the new cart. We made sure to take all the food and coins from the old cart, too, and then I set the horse-like creatures loose. If another elf found them, it was their lucky day, but if not, they could graze in the field for a long time without having to worry about anything else. Once all that was finished, we headed to the valley with the baby dragons. The little yellow female rode on my shoulder with Bla as I directed the cart, and when we made it to the top of the valley so we could look down and see all the dragons below, the little girl licked my cheek before she dove down to find her mother. We released all the babies, and they each instinctively flew down toward the other dragons. I knew they'd find their mothers quickly, and I could feel the love and happiness the dragons felt as they were reunited. The emotion was so vast and pure, it washed over me like the waves of the ocean, and I looked down and caught the eye of one of the mothers. The great yellow female nodded to me slightly, and then she continued to nuzzle her returned children.
I love seeing them back together.
Asta smiled as she looked down into the valley.
That's the best part.
There's another good part too, though.
What's that?
Murdering some dragon slavers.
The redhead grinned. I'll second that. I smiled. Let's go. It was time to meet the boss.